Well, good morning, dear brethren. We've certainly been blessed by just being here this morning with the sharing of the testimonies of the dear ones here. That's good and it's bad. The good part, it softens up our heart so that we feel those warm and fuzzy things that go up and down our spine. It's bad because of that, we're not always as composed as we would like to be. But never be ashamed, I have to tell myself this, of showing emotion. That, hopefully, is an indicator of the heart. And so as we were listening to Little Charlotte, I can call her Little Charlotte. We appreciated that very much. And her recognizing that there are places that you can steal away from in the world and feel loved. And these are like little places of refuge. So, Charlotte, you always have a home, a loving home that you can go to, and you have dear brethren whom will certainly support you in your endeavors to seek after the Lord and do those things that which would be good and right in God's sight. So, always appreciate that. We bring the love. The love has been brought, but we'll do it from the platform, too, of your brethren, our little class, which meet in Mahomet. It's true, they all wanted to be especially remembered to you all. And not once, but two or three times. So we now you've heard it, two or three times, and so I think we're all square there. As serving elders, the ones who serve know that hymns are chosen for a specific reason. Full surrender. And when we think of the hymns, and yet can I delay to give my little all? So we want to think about those things. Those who have made consecrations to the Lord, just remembering back. Those who may be contemplating that, we want to weigh the cost and remember that any effort to serve the Lord will not go unrewarded. So these things are blessed indeed. Sister Linda every year tries to find these little Christmas greeting cards. And on the cover is a little shepherd boy. And the caption is, what can I give him? What can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet, what can I give him? I give him my heart. So basically, that's the essence of our discussion this morning. It'd be reviewing our own walk for many. And as I thought about coming to serve this particular class, there are so many young ones in the truth that have recently consecrated. And we want to impress upon you, as well as those who have walking the narrow way a longer period of time, what actually we do when we consecrate our all. That's what we do. We consecrate our all. We give our hearts. You might be surprised, or you might not be surprised, that the heart in the scriptures are used over 800 times. So I think that shows you right there. If something is mentioned and repeated so often carries a special importance to us, I believe. In the Hebrew and Greek, the main usages of those two, of the word heart, carries the thought of will. I give my will. Also feelings, or our thoughts, our innermost thoughts. But what I really appreciated was it carried the thought of center. See, our heart is our center, home base, center of everything. Center of everything we are now, the center of everything that we hope to become. So I think you can see right off that as we consider the heart, it's a most important consideration. The pastor is so amply supplies us with the truth of the matter upon all subjects. And when we consider that in Ezekiel 9, I have done as thou hast commanded. We certainly, and it doesn't take us very long to realize in our study of the truth, he certainly was that faithful and wise servant. And so we appreciate his writings all the more when we really realize that the Lord's choice should be our choice of what we study. And so that's what we do. Sometimes we found in the past that we study so much that we think we're trying to accumulate all this knowledge, and then all of a sudden knowledge becomes the most important thing. Now I say this for our young ones, especially as older brethren, we've gone through many of these kind of things. But we want the knowledge. See, we grow in grace and in knowledge. See, if we appreciate that which we have received, see, that's the key, appreciation, and then it enhances more. The Lord is generous to us. So we must take into good and honest hearts that which He has shown us. And from time to time, we could become a little heady because we have this blessed treasure. I mean, it is a treasure. The truth is a treasure. Buy the truth and sell it not. Well, how did we buy the truth? We gave our heart, see, by a full unreserved consecration to our Heavenly Father. And in return, He directs us in the most precious way. We think we don't know very much. Some of the young ones said, well, I just don't know anything. You know, so much to learn. All you have to do to realize where you're at in your learning path or curve is to share what little you know with your friends at work. You learn very fast how privileged you are and how much you know. Knowing about the ransom and the philosophy of it, that's more than 99% of the world knows, or even greater percent than that. I mean, we are such a little flock this side the veil. So that's how privileged we are. Precious thing, precious thing. So we don't want to minimize these things that we learn at all. But we want to maximize them. And how do we do that? Not by becoming heady and wanting to learn knowledge just for the knowledge's sake, but that we grow in grace and we're built up more in this holy faith. And that the more we know and the more we see the pattern of our Master, instead of becoming elevated, unfortunately, sometimes we see ourselves in that comparison in light when we really see ourselves the way we are, and we can become easily discouraged too. So, but we want to be encouraged. And our Heavenly Father wants us to have a proper balance between the head and the heart. That's why there are two ceilings, head ceiling and a heart ceiling. Now, if we want a proper balance, but if we were to have an overabundance of one or the other, dear brethren, what do you think would be the most pleasing to the Heavenly Father? Thank you, brother. The heart. The heart. See, the reason, why is that? The reason being is this. Boys, if our hearts are tender towards the Lord, then certainly He can make us wise in His service. He can cause the experiences that we so often need to mold us into what we are going to become. And we'll talk much about that in the next hour. So hopefully this is just a prelude to that. So we don't want to place too much stress on what we know. See, we don't want to go to an extreme, although we want to value it. Value it. We don't want to let it slip from our grasp. Heavenly Father is desirous of quality of what we know, not the quantity. We were talking, I really appreciated our fellowship last night. It was just really a blessed time where we could just share the truth with each other and get to know one another better in the Lord. And these things are important for us. See, we come and assemble ourselves. Forsake not that. So sometimes if you're too tired to come to the meeting, make that special effort. You'll always be blessed. See? Forsake not the assembling of yourself. So the balance is what we're striving for. And testimony means are very important to help us to keep this proper balance. Remember when we were studying why we have the testimony meetings, and Brother Russell is expressing, if we were just to have one meeting a week, what would be the best meeting for us? He says it would be the testimony meetings. I said, we can study on our own. We can do that. We can have those privileges. But if we come together with those of like precious faith and we're able to express our innermost thoughts and feelings, what does that do for each of us? Well, it draws us closer together. See, we become more involved. We know where the heart is placed. And our experiences are developments of character, are they not? And we want our hearts to be very, very tender. When we think of knowledge, we read the 1 Corinthians 13 just about every week in our meetings, as well as the Matthew 5. And again, I think if we read the entirety of it, which we're not going to do, it brings us into proper focus, I think. And the first verses, 1 through 3, expresses to us that though we had all knowledge, though we speak with the tongues of angels and have all knowledge, but we don't have the proper heart development, we don't have the proper love, why, it's meaningless to us. See, so let's develop the heart so that then the knowledge that we do have, we're able to keep pure, and it does mean something to us. See, we don't want to just understand all things and not have the proper motivation for us. Wisdom can only be retained if out of a pure heart we have the proper appreciation. So again, we can't stress that enough. Appreciating that which we have received, the Lord will be pleased to grant us more. And again, we mentioned that there are over 800 scriptures that deal with the heart. And I think this morning, we kind of want to become acquainted with 7 or 8 of these scriptures that are special to me. And I'm sure that they're special to many of you too. The first one that we've thought about is Proverbs 23:26. It says, "My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways." Now just think about that. The Heavenly Father is speaking to us through the psalmist here. "My son, give me thine heart." These are very personal things that we can take to heart. And certainly if we have given our heart and continuing to give our heart, we'll certainly fit into this statement of a son. It's a very tender, precious thought. Sonship. Sonship. This is Father's Day. Just thought about that. See? And what would be better for us on this Father's Day is to continue to give our all, our best to our Father, to our Heavenly Father. So that would be a good thought, wouldn't it? We want to just do all that we can to be pleasing to the Lord. It says, "My son, give me thine heart." And in our case, and in most of our cases, it's continue. Let us continue to let our heart's desires and sentiments be known to the Heavenly Father. He knows that without even us saying a word. But as we go to Him on bended knee, certainly He can appreciate what we're trying to do. Have you ever had this experience where you go to pray and nothing, you're just kind of at a loss all the time, because there just seems to be nothing that you can say that would be appropriate, that would be appreciated by your Heavenly Father. But you know, prayer is the soul's sincere desire, whether it is expressed or unexpressed. Why? Because God can read our hearts. See? And if our hearts are tender and pure towards God, then He sees that. He sees that better than we do. See? So, we can't emphasize this too much. And it says, "And let thine eyes observe my ways." Eyes, dear brethren, have always been a symbol of wisdom. See? You know, the wisest thing that we could ever do and the wisest thing we have ever done is giving the Lord, giving our Heavenly Father our hearts. See, we have accepted our Heavenly Father's gracious invitation. Did He tap us on the shoulder? You know, we've thought about this over the past years. How in the world did we come into this situation anyway, that we could be drawn of the Father? Well, you see, the Heavenly Father doesn't tap us on the shoulder. But, you see, through His Word, we have been drawn to certain passages of Scripture that appeal to us. So these are God's invitations. He's sending out these little flyers. Attention, attention, you know. And as we see these little flyers coming to our minds and hearts, then we draw close to the Lord. See, draw nigh unto the Lord, and He will draw nigh unto you. And by doing that, we see those words that are written, they're there for us. They're written to me. See, it's like a personal invitation. Personal invitation, if we can make it that, see. Because we have seen it. If we've seen it, then it's to us. If we gloss over it, then it's not for us. That's the whole point. And we accept the Father's gracious invitation, giving our hearts in full consecration. And this includes our all, our reverence for Him, all the worship we can give Him, all the praise that we can give Him, all our earthly treasures, all our time, talents, and influences. You know, as parents, the largest earthly treasure we have is to give our children to the Lord. I think all of us who are parents really realize that. And it doesn't make any difference if they get a little older and they go on about their way. We've still given our children to the Lord, and they're still in our interests. And we hope and trust that they are still in the Lord's interest. Anything that interests us interests the Lord. So, as a father, you know, we're always concerned about that. Just because they don't seem to grasp the truth like we would like them to grasp it, but they certainly will in the kingdom. That's the thing. And we were, again, too, struck last night by Rich. And we found ourselves just talking normally about the truth. And I caught myself thinking about that. And I thought, boy, I don't know. Should we be talking about that? And I said, yeah, we shouldn't deviate our conversation one bit. Now, this will do one of two things. It will either cause the one who was there, Rich, will just to either appreciate it more, or he'll think it's folly. One of the two. I mean, and if he appreciates the truth now, but yet doesn't, consecration isn't for everybody, dear brethren. Remember that. We shouldn't make it mandatory upon our children. Well, you have to consecrate to the Lord. See, maybe not time. Maybe not time now. But if it is, then that's what we support you wholeheartedly. So our loved ones are placed in the interest, into the loving care of our Heavenly Father. And that's where we want them to be. That's where else better could our earthly treasures be but in the hands of the Heavenly Father? We don't know how best to take care of it. He does. And so we appreciate that very, very much. And whether Rich ever appreciates the truth to the degree of consecration now doesn't make any difference. The very fact that he appreciates it at all makes all the difference to Sister Joanne. She's here. She doesn't have any hindrances of being here. Just think how blessed that is. You ever had a time when your helpmate weren't with you 100% in what you were doing? It doesn't take you long to figure out that it's better if they support you than do not support you, let me tell you. So we are thankful. We're thankful for those special little blessings from the Heavenly Father. And we have the young one here too, appreciating the Lord. See, that's you can't, there's no substitute for that. Can't take that away from her. And in the age to come, whether she consecrates now, she will later. See, walk up that highway of holiness so fast. She mentioned the fact that she's trying to understand loneliness. You know why she's lonely? She's had a good truth background. She doesn't fit in with the world. She's off to college. All her friends have their own agenda. They want to pate, whatever. You see, and if your mind and conscience is tender because of your upbringing, boy, these things bother you. What are they doing? I just don't fit in. And so when you kind of resist that temptation to just go with the flow, what happens? Pretty soon, you're all alone. See, you don't have those close friends. Remember who your friends are. Friends are your family, both natural, but mainly spiritual. Spiritual family. We make friends with the world now. Pretty soon, we'll have to compromise a little bit. And just like the little ship in the stream, trying to paddle uphill, pretty soon you get tired and your resistance becomes less and less, and all of a sudden now you're going with the flow, their flow. See? And if that bothers you, you will be lonely. But I'd rather walk. I'd rather walk with the Lord, alone with Him, than be on a busy, crowded street going with them. Just remember that. And it will reap glorious benefits, if not now, much it will later. Certainly will. Certainly will. Proverbs 3:3 and 3:4. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the tables of thine heart. Mercy and truth. We're truth seekers. See? So important to our character development is this trait of mercy. And as the Father has shown great mercy on our behalf, so we too must learn mercy. How do we learn that? We learn it in the school of Christ. We learn it in the school of Christ. Truth here, the truth that we want to learn is sincerity, pureness, uprightness, and how that can be applied in all of our daily affairs of life. So honesty of heart is what we want to learn. And we want to write these about and carry them about our neck. Well, why? Not only that others can see that we're walking right, but we don't. Have you ever put something back for safekeeping? I do that all the time. Put it in the drawers so I won't lose it, and I can never remember where I put it. Takes me hours to find that one little item that we're trying to find. That's not good. Now, honesty of heart, mercy, and truth, we want to have it in full display so that we can have access it at all times as reminders, little reminders to us where we need to and where we're headed, where we're going all the time. So that's what we want. See, bind them about thy neck. I just wrote, signifies that these character traits are to be esteemed as jewels. They're ornaments. Carefully guarded from loss and always in sight. Proverbs 6:20, it says, my son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. Well, what's that all about? My son, keep thy father's commandments. So as we look into his word, we see what we are to do, how we are to comport and conduct our lives, and also forsake not the law of thy mother. We learn very early that our mother is a Sarah feature of the Abrahamic covenant. And what does that mean to us? It means that we have consecrated our all to the Lord. We've given our little all. And so, never lose sight of this, our consecration to the Lord. Sometimes we question ourselves, well, did I really consecrate to the Lord? Well, I think I did. I don't really know. You know, His Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. And if at any point in time in our Christian walk we see that we have had that witness of the Holy Spirit, then we should never doubt for one instant whether or not we've been Spirit begotten. If we've seen evidences of it, never question that again. It's a mute point from that point onward. Never question that. Now, it's true, we may wonder where we're going to end up, whether we're going to be faithful to the Lord as a little flock member or otherwise. Now, we do think about those things, but never question your consecration if you have shown signs of Spirit begettal. Never forget that for a second. To do so would be to doubt God. Now, we don't want to do that. See? And that's a bad sign. Shows a lack of faith, does it not? We want to have full assurances of faith. God with all thy heart, mind, and soul, and thy neighbor as thyself. That's what we want to do. That is our commandment. No, I'm fine. This is the first and great commandment, we're told in Matthew 22:38. So that's the law of our Father, is it not? To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, and soul. And the second part of that is thy neighbor as thyself. And so as we do that, you see, it shows the commitment that we have want to give to our Heavenly Father. Commitment of giving our hearts. One of the scriptures that we use a lot, and the reason we do, because we have to be reminded of it ourselves so often, is Proverbs 3:5-7. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he then shall direct our path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Now these are scriptures that I think all of us can really take to heart. Especially if we place too much value on knowledge. Because when we do that, all of a sudden, then we become larger than life, you might say. We've had many experiences the last few years that have impressed upon us this scripture. And often we have heard that, well, the Lord would not lead me into error. Well, the Lord won't. Sister Violet and I were talking about this last night. The Lord won't lead us into error. But if we're leaning to our own understanding, the Lord will allow us to lead ourselves into error. See, that's the danger. And that's what we're trying to guard against, not only in our own hearts and minds, but in the hearts and minds of the brethren. And we've seen that that has been a dangerous stumbling point from time to time in our own selves as well as in others. Once you've gone through 3 or 4 experiences, you become very tender to that. And I think it's easier to see that in others than see it in yourself. But if you see it in others, then you've got to know it can happen to you. And so the point we were making is this. Whenever we hear someone say, well, I don't know why the Lord chose me to see this one special point. Oh, if I could just find one thing that hasn't been seen by the brethren to nail this subject down. Okay. And we look and we look and we look and we think we sometimes see things that we kind of manufacture in our minds to make believe exactly what we wanted to believe. See, this is called leaning to our own understanding. And we want to not do that. Now, how can we best guard that? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. That's how we do that. See, if we're trusting properly, we'll be led properly. And then we won't be given an energy of a delusion that we should believe a lie. So these are very important things we believe. Full acknowledgement of Him should not only be in our own hearts, but in our own thoughts, words, and actions. Nothing is more dangerous to the new creature than self-conceit. Now, we don't want that at all. So we won't talk more about that now. But we just want to impress upon you, if we're trusting properly in the Lord, then we will not be led astray because we won't allow ourselves to do it. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. Once we find the wisdom that cometh from on high, and understand that, that better make you happy. Jump for joy when we understand things correctly. So that's very, very important to us. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom with all thy getting. Get the understanding. Well, I thought you said, Brother Jim, that wisdom isn't to be valued. It's to be valued. It's a principal thing. But not in an extreme. When we talk about these things, when we talk about character development, it's not at the expense of learning and wisdom, but in concert with that. So we need to keep this happy balance. We need a balance all the time. We don't want to be like this or like this. A balance is important. And so we must seek for that all the time. We don't want to be performers in expounding that which we think we know. We want to be sincere in the truth that we share with others. Sincere, and we want to have it to be right. James 3:17 says, the wisdom that we want is the wisdom that cometh from above. We don't want it to come from out of the depths of our own understanding again. We want it to come from on high. Without proper wisdom, we cannot follow the right path. Give instruction to a wise man, and what happens? He becomes wiser yet. We think of the seventh messenger. He was a pretty wise man. But he was faithful first. He was wise, but he was faithful. And then he was wiser yet. Why? Because he received the wisdom that came from on high. We have a lot of smart individuals in this room. But you're smarter yet when you trust in the Lord and receive the wisdom from on high. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The reverence of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Always love that. What do you know about the holy? You know a lot about it if you're in there. If you're not in there, you don't know much about it, do you? When you're in the holy, you're feeding on the tables of Showbread. What is that? Well, that's our scriptures. Tables of Showbread are the scriptures. And our illumination, you might say, is from the golden candlestick. And so God's Holy Spirit, working in and through us, is shedding light on His scriptures, and we're drinking it in. That's what we want. Drink deep, dear brethren, of the wisdom and the knowledge that comes from the holy. And the very fact that we're in there should bring us joy beyond all else. But we need to be sober also, realizing that there are responsibilities that we must carry out in order to be successful. Psalms 37:3, trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land and barely be fed. So trust is an important feature of our walk in the development of our hearts, is it not? We've got to trust Him. Trust Him. So He fed them. This is one of my favorite scriptures, dear brethren. Psalm 78:72. So He fed them according to the integrity of His heart, and guided them by the skillfulness of His hands. Let that sink in a minute. What is that? What does that mean to you? It should mean a lot. What does that do for our trust and confidence factor of how we're being directed? Why, it should grow by leaps and bounds. We've entrusted our learning, because we have given our hearts to the Heavenly Father, to Him. And He will skillfully have the experiences and have our learning times come to us that will help us grow the fastest. Through the skillfulness of His hands. The Lord returned, girded Himself, served a faithful and wise servant, meet in due season. We're going through the Jubilees in our studies at home. Brother, that's pretty meaty. Meet in due season. And as we look at these volumes, they contain so much meat. And if we can scratch the surface even, sometimes we think, well, gosh, it's hard for me to understand these things. But as we go through and we're led by the Holy Spirit and we yield to that influence, we will learn these things. Notwithstanding, it doesn't mean that we're always going to remember these things to such a degree that we're expounders of them at the drop of a dime. Forget that. That's never going to happen. But you always know that you have proved it in your own heart and mind, and you always know where to find the answers. I'll get back to you on that, see? You can do that. See, our Heavenly Father has skillfully guided us. Psalms 37:4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Where your treasure is. We just saw that on the wall there in our little one night bed and breakfast. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is also. Lovely picture. See, you had a picture of a mother with a little daughter, if I remember correctly, and just a lovely field of flowers. As lovely as that picture conjures up in our mind, this oneness with the mother and child, how much more should it be shown to our hearts and minds the true essence of that? If your treasure is on earthly things, then you'll probably achieve some of those things because that's what you're striving for. But if your treasure is in heaven and you're striving for that, you will be successful. Delight in that. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. See, if we're trusting aright, our Heavenly Father will bring it to pass. We're just being used and molded in His service. That's what we want. I delight to do thy will, O God. Who said that? His only begotten Son. Yea, thy law is written into my heart. Can that be the sentiments of our heart also? We hope that it is. We hope that it is. Psalms 24:3-4, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in His holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? You need clean hands, Father. The Heavenly Father tells us. What is that? Well, we need to lead an honest life. See, clean hands. Everything that we handle must be kept pure. Not only in our daily affairs of life, but how do we handle the truth? See, that's the important thing, more important than anything. So it really shows the responsibility of each of us to keep our hearts so that those things that we handle and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. See, to be, and the meditation of our hearts, that those things which we ponder to meditate over, we want them to become so firm, just like the precious promises. If we dwell on them and meditate and ponder over them, they become living realities. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. See, that goes to back to the thought, wherever our treasure is. See, that's where our heart is. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. Let the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable to him. That's worthy of our emulation, and taking that to heart, is it not? And so, as the time is gone, we'd like to close with this particular poem, Keeping the Heart. And that's the title. It's on page 35 of Poems of the Way. Keep thine heart with diligence, the Master says to thee, for out of it life's issues come, so guard it well for me. Ah, yes, dear Lord, my heart is thine, mine all, none less I'd give. Dost thou not give thine all for me, that even I might live? Even though mistakes I often make and hasty words I speak, still is my heart a contrite one, thy will alone I seek. Help me to keep my motives pure, repel each evil thought, to keep my mind on things above, and of thy word be taught. I know thy grace sufficient is, I'll therefore do my part, to walk in footsteps of my Lord, and ever keep my heart. Dear brethren, let us keep our hearts, for out of it are the issues of life. Lord, bless us in that endeavor. Thank you.